For September 22nd, 2016, it's the Lullabot Podcast. It's the Lullabot Podcast, episode 196. I'm Matt Klee, the senior developer at Lullabot, with me, co-host of the podcast, Mike Herschel, a front-end dev. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how are you doing? Good morning.
Good morning, Mike. So, hey, we're here on the Lullabot Podcast. Mm-hmm. We are a podcast all about Lullabot. What's that?
Lullabot is a Drupal and web development company. We do a lot of cool stuff.
Oh, yeah? What's Drupal?
Drupal is a content management system that... it manages content and has a cool content model. It's been around for a while.
What's the internet?
It's a series of tubes.
And this is episode 196. We'll be talking today about OpenSocial, a Drupal distribution that's on the up and coming. What do you know about it, Mike?
Well, you know, we'll save that for after the introductions. I've been actually doing a little bit of research about it, and I have an installation going as we speak.
Ooh, I'm interested to see how that goes. And to tell us all about Drupal Social, we have the co-founding partner of Gold Gorilla on Drupal.org for over 7 years. He's a board member of the Dutch Drupal Association, a prior organizer of Drupal Jam and the Splash Awards. He hails from the Netherlands. He's the founders of the Yoast SEO Drupal module and the Open Social distribution. He's been on the podcast before. It's Taco Poza. Hey, Taco.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Great.
Fantastic.
Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me back.
And we also have the other co-founding partner of Gold Gorilla, has also been on Drupal.org for 7-ish years. The marketing director at Gold Gorilla and Open Social contributed insights on Drupal.org usage from Google Analytics. He will be a speaker at DrupalCon Dublin, I believe, about agile teams from a business owner perspective. And he believes that open software makes the world better and is a business model. Welcome, Miesko Chizik.
Glad to join you guys. Thanks for inviting me.
Ah, thanks for being here. How did I do on the name?
You did very well. Above average.
Thank you. I've been practicing.
Mike, we give you a solid B.
That's awesome. That's about as good as I can hope for.
We're also going to bring on Lullabot's director of technology. She's been on Drupal.org for over 10 years. She's wrote lots of Drupal modules, and if you've been in the Drupal world for any matter of time, you can be guaranteed you've run some of her code and did a lot of work to bring fields and core within Drupal 7. From Normal, Illinois, it's Karen Stevenson. Hey, Karen.
Hey, how are you guys?
Glad you could come on.
My thought is we can have Karen on. Karen is our director is Lullabot's director of technology, and so she's responsible for making a lot of technology decisions at Lullabot, including our current UC Yammer. So I thought, well, why don't we have Taco Miesko on and try to convince Karen to switch away from Yammer to Open Social with a open source, and it's obviously a technology that Lullabot is very intimately familiar with Drupal.
Yeah, and so Yammer is a closed social network that Lullabot's been using kind of as an internal intranet. When Taco was on previously, a few episodes back, we were talking about paying for Drupal modules and Drupal distributions and kind of that open source paid way of doing business. And he was giving us a hard time about, well, you're using Yammer, but you have Drupal. You guys know Drupal, right? So we're going to have the opportunity to talk a little bit about Open Social and Yammer and maybe how that kind of thing could actually work within Lullabot or maybe within your organization. So Taco Miesko, if you guys don't mind just kind of talking a little bit about Open Social and what it is and what it does and what Gold Gorilla is doing with it.
So yeah, we're mixing the name. We start out by calling it Drupal Social. We actually switched to Open Social. So the product and the distro is called Open Social because we feel it fits better what it actually is. So we have to go back in time a little while. We started working 4 or 5 years ago for Greenpeace, and we built a community platform for their volunteers. And at the moment, there's about 60,000 volunteers on that platform, and it's really pushing Greenpeace forward as an organization. And there's a great case study on this on Drupal.com, by the way. And we won a huge award for this, the Dutch Interactive Awards last year. It's the most important award in the Netherlands. And after that, we got a lot of requests from organizations saying, can you also give us a platform that you've built for Greenpeace? And we said, well, this is really tailored for Greenpeace, and it's also in Drupal 7. So we were starting to thinking about, okay, what can we do in Drupal 8? And then the idea came, okay, why don't we make it a distribution that we can use for more organizations that have a similar need for organizing either volunteers or, you know, any kind of community, basically. But obviously, building a distribution in Drupal 8 is very time consuming. So what we did is we had a crowdfunding campaign in December last year. And within 1 week, we raised 200,000 euro. We actually sold 10% of our shares, our company shares, to do this. We invested the same amount of money by ourselves. And we've been working on the distribution since January this year. And we're very happy to be launching a beta on Drupal.org. Actually, when this podcast comes out, it should be on Drupal.org. So go check. And that's basically the project in a nutshell.
That sounds awesome. We'll link directly to the project page in the beta from the show notes.
Now we really have to launch the beta, so there's no way back now.
No pressure.
There's no way.
That's really impressive and amazing. I applaud you guys. That's a lot of work. I know how much work you're talking about.
Maybe to connect to the question. So one of the reasons we called it open social, because the openness of it is something really special, and probably that this is something also that makes us different than, like, I would call it like corporate or enterprise tools like Jammer, which tend to be about intranets and like keeping information inside of the organization. And open social gives you more options to either open up. For example, we have been using Basecamp for like years at GoGorilla, very nice tool. But what it means is that you hold a lot of knowledge, which would be interesting to connect from the outside, you know, for our customers or maybe for other agencies. You keep it inside of your organization. And open social gives you the possibility to open up and also publish outside of your organization. So it's not only an intranet.
Gotcha. But it can be used as an intranet. So looking at Lullabot's use case with Yammer, if we want to configure open social as just like a pure intranet with, you know, private data that no one else can get to, is it easy to configure it like that, or how does that work?
Yeah, so we use a couple of ways of doing that. We use, for example, the group module. That is a new module for Drupal 8.
Which is kind of an organic groups replacement, right?
Exactly. So there's these two initiatives right now, and we chose for group because it works really well with entities, and it was also finished at the time that we needed it. So we're still working to improve the group module, but for now it's included in the distribution. And what we will be working towards too is that there will be an open group where, you know, content is visible, but there can also be closed groups, and then in the end there will also be secret groups, so to keep information very secret. And we learned from Greenpeace doing this and what users want in terms of, you know, opening up information or keeping things very secretive, because if Greenpeace does a event they don't want people to know about, you cannot create a group saying, hey, we're going to take over this nuclear plant tomorrow, and then people will know it before it actually happens. So we learned a lot from that business cases. The group module is one way. Obviously, the sign-up, you know, you can create an open sign-up process as you would normally do in Drupal, or make it closed. So there's lots of way to configure the platform. And I think that's also the biggest challenge we have, is that there is a lot of use cases for communities or intranets. And when looking at, for example, your specific case, you know, you have your reasons to use Jammer, some functionalities you might use, some not. And that is really the biggest challenge for us, is to make a default platform that serves as a basis for any type of project you want to do. And one of the questions you had, what's the difference with Drupal Commons, for example, the Drupal 7 version, mm-hmm. is that was very heavy. It came with a lot of modules that maybe you wouldn't need. So it came with hundreds of modules. And we have a big debate every time we want to add something to the distribution. We think to ourselves, okay, does this really need to be in the core of Open Social, or can it be an extended module that we don't need in Open Social? So we try to keep it very light and to fulfill a lot of use cases and business cases with that.
So I have had some experience working on a Drupal Commons site, or I suppose I could say what was formerly a Drupal Commons site and then kind of evolved into just a behemoth of a website with 380 some modules, and I could see how that kind of thing could be a problem. But Taco, I also see how you're trying to create this platform that's generic yet useful. I mean, that's got to be a struggle.
Yes. So we're actually launching our first client projects at this moment. So we are opening our beta up on Drupal.org next week, but we have a private beta. And one of our first projects we're launching is a project for the United Nations. And we now start seeing that even though 80% of the functionality is pretty much the same throughout all the social projects, the 20% that they want changed is, of course, the most complex, as it is with most projects. But that's really the challenge, to say, okay, how can we fulfill your use cases without deviating too much from the platform? And I think that will be the case for any project that people want to do with Open Social. You know, we will provide a basis. You can deviate from that. But obviously, the more you build on top of that, the more difficult it will be to maintain. Up to the moment where you have to say, well, we have to build an entire custom platform, as we also did for Greenpeace in the end. But we try to keep it light, and we try to invest in features like notifications, your timeline, media, basic things that everybody needs for their project.
So what? So let's just talk features of Open Social.
Yeah, sure.
So keeping in mind that none of us on the podcast here, except for you guys, have seen Open Social, except for me, who just has it installed.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of explain to us, once it's installed, what the interface looks like, what's possible, how it handles media, any type of integrations, etc.
Yeah. So we try to make a demo available soon that will reset itself every night, so people can check it out. Until that, you can also look in at our front end prototype, which is available online to get a quick idea about the platform. And we are working with a hosting provider to make sure through a landing page anybody can set up a prototype of Open Social really fast and in the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also coming, so people can start experimenting a little bit more. So what it is a public-facing website where you can create content, news, events that are open for people, as we normally do for Drupal projects. And there is a sign-up process. Currently, there is no social sign-up yet, but that's definitely on our roadmap because we're getting this request a lot. We keep the sign-up process very simple now, username, email, and then you you log into the platform, and immediately the whole platform is personalized and customized to your needs. So we have a stream, like people know from their timelines on, for example, Facebook, that updates information about things that you like, that you're interested in, that you're following, your events that you signed up for. And to get this stream right is a lot of work, and we'll keep on testing and evolving this very important feature. We all know from Facebook how important your timeline is, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of machine learning involved in that. And we are trying to improve upon that every sprint. You obviously have your profile. You can set up who you are, show people an avatar, maybe set some interests or a biography. So profile is obviously very important. Then we have, in terms of content, two content types at the moment. Again, we want to keep the platform very light. So one of them is events, creating events. And the other one is a more general way of creating content. So currently we call them topics, and we decided to set content types by a taxonomy. So instead of creating a new node or a new content type called news, called blogs, called discussions, whatever, we said no, we use one content type, and then by a taxonomy you can create these different types. So you can set up blogs and news, and still filter and search on all these content types, but we don't need all these different types of content. It's getting a bit technical, but I hope people will understand what we are doing, and they also will like it, but we are experimenting a little bit with that. So then there's these groups. I mentioned them before. So currently there's just open groups, but we will expand later with closed groups and then the secret groups, where you can set up your own sub-community within this larger community. And that can be, for example, a local group. So we have a big community in Amsterdam or in the Netherlands, and we want to create a sub-group of that just for Amsterdam. So I can set up my own group, and I can either invite members or members can go to that group themselves. And within this group, they again can create news, blogs, events, and again we have this timeline and notifications. So this is all to personalize the platform to your needs. What else do we have? Obviously, you can make posts on the timeline. So currently, it's just some text, and you say if it has to be public or it has to be only visible for community members. And then there is a very extensive notification center. We use the message module for this, and that means that also the developers can start creating their own notifications and set when they want to be notified. For example, if somebody creates a comment on your post, if you want to be notified on the platform or if you want to be notified by email. And we are working on aggregation of all these things. If you get 20 people that comment on your article, you don't want to get 20 emails. So currently we're also working on aggregating all these notifications. And so there's a lot of things happening behind the scene that is making your experience on the platform a lot better. But it's also very difficult to do, and it's a lot of time being spent on getting this right.
Don't forget search, Taco, because it's really nice.
We have a great search functionality. We use Search API for this, and indeed, it's very powerful, as we have noticed.
Yeah, I was just thinking through this. So if we were comparing this to Yammer, like we talked about originally, the model would be basically people would get in there, they'd create posts, they could comment on the posts, there'd be notifications set up to keep track of the fact that people had commented on their posts or that there were was further discussion on a post they were interested in, that kind of thing.
Exactly.
So that sounds interesting. And then all of this can be either public or private.
Exactly. So you always, for us, it's very important that what people don't like about Facebook, for example, is that they feel like they're out of control, they don't own their data anymore. So mm-hmm. we really focused on, okay, people should always know, are you making things public, are you making things private, and to be very easy and simple to set this, and not as in Facebook that's trying to, you know, take your data into a more public sphere that you don't want to. So this privacy and data ownership is super important for us.
Yeah, very much so. So on the installation that I have right now, it takes me to kind of the wall, the equivalent of the Facebook wall, and I see like a bunch of, you know, where I can kind of create posts and comment on a post and stuff. So I don't see the ability, at least I'm not seeing it from like attaching images and stuff. Is that as simple as attaching, say, like an image field to the comment entity type, or?
Yeah, it's very high in our backlog at the moment, this feature. So definitely that's something that we will add in one of the sprints to come. Mm-hmm. Straight away. And this is one of the features that we want. And also, for example, the mention is not there yet. So you want to start typing at Matt and, get your name, and then you should be notified from this mention as well. So those are also features that we really want. But we're working in an agile way with the team. So every 3 weeks we have a sprint and we decide, what should we work on next. There's never enough time to do everything, so we have to make very tough choices. Currently we focus on getting the beta on Drupal.org and getting the first clients out, because obviously this is a very costly exercise, so we need to get some income as well from the project. And the other thing is why we're doing this is to get this real user feedback. For example, the client didn't know how to make images in the What You See Is What You Get editor smaller. And yeah, this was something that we didn't think about. And really needed to focus on that, because that's one of the most important things for a client, to get images in their content.
So what you're saying is that media integration in a Drupal project is tricky.
Yes, and there's also these blocks. I'm not sure if you heard about them. So we're also working on that. Yes, there are some very tricky parts, and we really try to go for an MVP, but it's really balancing between, okay, what is the minimal viable product, and exactly the thing, okay, you can make a post right now, and it's great. So that's very minimal, and then we will start expanding with nice images in your videos, and when I add a YouTube link, I should give me a preview of the video and all the great stuff. So it will get there, give us time. Mm-hmm. We will start expanding on the platform, and that's also why it's important that, you know, we're not just building the distribution, we're also changing our company, GoalGorilla, into really working more into a sustainable business model for the distribution, so we can keep on investing in the distribution. And that's something that, Dries said many years ago, like, distributions are great, but we have to make them sustainable. And we've stuck to that advice and really focus on, okay, we have to make this project sustainable, financially healthy, in order to give the community what they're expecting. And that's, very high level of expectations.
So let's talk your business model. So your business model is to do software as a service for Open Social. Is that correct?
Yes, Carl, maybe you can elaborate.
Yes, sure. So this is what Taco was talking about. So mm-hmm. So our long-term vision is that you basically need to do this to keep the company and hence the core team sustainable. Mm-hmm. So we are looking into ways to have like a monthly income, so we can keep innovating, doing new releases, new features, and putting those back into the distribution and giving back to the community as well. So because this is one of the problems we are seeing as an agency. So you do big one-off projects, and you either have a lot of work, everybody is swamped, or you have no work, so it's like one or zero, right? and this is fun and exciting, and you can build beautiful one-offs. But if you really want to reach a level of quality, and my personal belief is like we are competing to products like Jammer and Slack, you know. So the Slack has like what, 500 million in funding. This is like insane. So. To get close to this, there is no other way, in my opinion. So to keep up innovation high, also keep up the quality high, and evolve Drupal as a product, more companies, in my opinion, should look into this type of models.
Okay. So do you have pricing published on your website yet? Is this still to be determined, or like what is... How much is it going to cost, basically, if you guys have that public yet?
Yeah, so it will be public very soon. So yeah. We expect the pricing to be up right before DrupalCon Dublin.
Okay.
It's no secret that we already are saying that it will start at 490 euros a month.
Okay.
So I don't know if we need to use dollars, but it's, let's say, a bit more than $500. Mm-hmm. And that's the starting price. Obviously, you can try the distribution for free, and there will be a free trial period as well. So you don't need to start paying at the first instance, but you can, after 30 days, you start paying a monthly fee.
Gotcha. Karen, is that comparable to Yammer? I have no clue. I don't even know if you know, or if we should be discussing this on our podcast. I don't know.
I don't know. I do know, but I don't remember what we're paying for Yammer. So yeah.
Well, I can tell you that Jammer is a bit more expensive.
Okay.
Well, at least if you apply it at scale at large organizations. So
right.
So because they charge on a user based fee,
So you're not anticipating doing a user-based fee. You're just doing...
We might, but we have a trick up our sleeves because at first, our first target group, I think our product might be most interesting to NGO organizations or similar nonprofits. That's what we know best. Mm-hmm. And in our experience, doing a per user based fee is hard for them because their communities are open. So let's say one month they could have 20,000 users, have a successful campaign, and the next month they have 35,000 users, and some of them might leave. So in order to think ahead and I think about what their needs are as from this service, we said, well, we cannot do user-based pricing. We should do something like a flat fee type of structure. But this means that we might, I don't want to disclose too much about our business models. Maybe it's a bit early for this, but we might consider charging in a different way for corporate organizations than we would for NGOs.
Sure, I can understand how that would be tricky for a company or an NGO that is trying to drum up support. And, it would be a great thing for them to have 35,000 people to, want to join their cause. But then that would cost them a lot of money.
We don't want to punish them for being successful.
That would be a bad thing.
So, Karen Stevenson, what do you think? Is this did they convince you so far? Is this a potential Yammer replacement?
I think it's interesting, and obviously with our background, I'm always interested in things that are built on Drupal because that's the tool we know, and that's always a huge advantage in my mind. But I'm not sure yet. So we use Yammer for a lot of different things, and mm-hmm. I think a lot of what it is one thing is, for instance, kind of the stream of consciousness. People like to pop in and say, what's going on in their lives and post some pictures. So the pictures obviously are going to be very important. And we have a lot of long threads of things like somebody coming in and saying, here's my picture of cats, and here's what my cats look like, and here's what my cats look like. And then we have threads like, here's what I can see out my window today, and here's what my window looks like. And, you see what everybody's weather is and all that kind of stuff. So a lot of it is very visual. So I will be interested in the image part of it. So that is one thing that I think people really like about Yammer. You guys use Yammer as well. I'm trying to think of what some of our other... We like the threaded discussions. We have kind of a love-hate relationship with Yammer. We keep talking about getting rid of it because there are things we don't like about it, but we keep coming back to there are certain things we're doing with it that nothing else seems to take care of. So
what we're going to do is we're going to set up you guys as beta testers for Open Social. So we'll make sure you get an environment and you can just check it out and see how the cat threads would work on there. And we would love to hear your feedback on that and hopefully convince you to switch because, indeed, as a Drupal agencies, we should really, eat our own dog food.
Right.
Sure.
Or cat food.
That's actually a nice comparison, but you know who came up with that expression? It was Bill Gates. So about eating the dog food. So
yeah.
Well, Yammer now, is Microsoft, right?
It is now, yep. Yeah.
So it all comes down to cats and dogs.
Well, there's a constant running joke within Lullabot, and there's even a little icon that's the Yammer rewrite extinguisher, because it's something that, there's a lot of technically skilled people at Lullabot, and Yammer, being a wall of stream of consciousness sharing is something, I can build that. Let's just get started. And there have been a couple of instances where people have started down that path. And one time, a group of Lullabots actually rewrote the front end of Yammer using the Yammer API, and then they end-of-life their API. And so it's something that we've definitely considered in the past, for sure.
But you guys seem to be using it a lot on mobile devices. Am I right?
That's it. We've got the Yammer mobile app and all that, which is nice.
Pre-Slack, we actually used Yammer. There was a group within Yammer we called Phones, And it was just something everybody was supposed to configure updates to this group to send them SMS notifications. So if we were together as a group, we could, you know, post to the phones group and everybody would get an SMS, and it would be a way to extend communication to everybody, you know, with a push notification type thing. And now with Slack, that's kind of a little bit different. And Yammer stopped their SMS posts anyway. So
what we're actually, obviously the platform is fully responsive, and we spend a lot of time on getting the mobile interaction right. This week started an intern for 5 weeks, and he's going to work on a progressive web app. And that means that we can do push notifications and maybe some offline capabilities in the future. So we're really excited about moving into that direction as well.
Yeah, that was exactly what I was going at. So I think Dries posted the post about Drupal versus like native applications. Definitely check it out. But this will be, in my opinion, a big discussion for Drupal and like where the web is going the next few years in general. So we are definitely in the progressive web app corner, not the native applications.
Yeah, well, that's a good place to be, in my opinion. Let's get back in there. So I heard earlier that there's going to be some specific modules for Open Social. So are these going to be kind of Open Social specific modules or modules that could be integrated in with other type of Drupal functionality? Did I hear that correctly?
Well, we have obviously modules to make Open Social work.
Yeah.
Some of them are indeed interesting enough to make public as a normal contrib project. That is not our main focus at the moment, though. So, you know, once we get the project up and running, everybody is happy, Lilibot is using our tool, then we can spend some more time on open sourcing other parts of the project. We did learn, because obviously we were quite early with Drupal 8. So we, for example, have a very nice module that, as a normal user in Drupal 8 behavior, you can just save content. But as an admin, you have this really cool functionality that you can select if you want to save it published or save it as unpublished. So we wanted to make this available for normal users as well. Mm-hmm. It's really nice. So we built that for normal users, and that would be, for example, a great module that we, you know, would want to give back to the general community as well.
Gotcha. Do you have any type of integration with LDAP or like Google services for authentication or anything like that yet?
Not yet. So as Miska said before, our first focus is more on non-government organizations, and they tend to use the platform more outside of the organization, so they rely less on LDAP and stuff like that. But if we are moving more into the social intranet systems, then LDAP is a must-have functionality, and social login is also on our roadmap to build.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So if someone wants to download the distribution right now, how do they go ahead and do that?
Yeah, so we have an issue queue, and most issues currently about installation is because people are not using Composer. So we depend heavily on Composer. So check out Composer and learn a little bit about that, and it will make your life much easier in the end. But it is something that in the Drupal community we're not really used to yet. So I would definitely say use Composer, and it will work super nice, the installation and also updating the platform.
And I will note that basically for a whole lot of things in Drupal 8, it's worth learning to use Composer, because Drupal 8 relies on it very heavily.
Yes, Drupal Commerce will also use it, so it's definitely the way forward. But Drupal.org as a platform is not supporting all Composer functionalities yet that we need to run the project smoothly from a Drupal.org installation. So there's some work being done on that, and we're talking to the core maintainers to fix that as soon as possible as well.
Yeah, I went through the installation process with Composer like prior to the podcast, and it's just copying and pasting the commands and kind of making sure, you know, watching it go by. I didn't have any error, so. Yeah, mm-hmm. It was very smooth, at least from the Composer workflow.
Good to hear. We're very active in the issue queue. So if there's any issue you have, let us know. Any bugs that you found, let us know. We also have a couple of hours a week where we are available online. So you can post your questions directly to the team and get answers straight away.
Is this on IRC or Slack? Okay.
Yeah.
What's the IRC channel?
That's a very good question. It's on our it's in the wiki. So if you go to the GitHub project page, all the information about installation and support and other questions you have is there. So check out the GitHub repository.
There are links on the Drupal.org page to this as well. Yeah, sure.
Gotcha. Yeah, there is a open social, just with no spaces, channel on chat.freenode.net, according to the wiki, which I had up. So, yeah, it's pretty awesome. So if someone's going to file an issue on this, they do this in the Drupal.org issue queue?
Yeah. We're developing on GitHub because – doing a complex project like this, it's very difficult to do it just on Drupal.org. Mm-hmm. It's a bit of a shame because we, for example, don't get all the commit credits now. But yeah, that's just how it is. But it does make our life a little bit easier. But we do want to keep the community involved, so we do use the issue queue a lot. And we also have our roadmap in the Drupal.org issue queue, and we try to add user stories and bugs and functional requests and change requests also into the issue queue.
Gotcha. And if we're going to contribute back, should that go through a pull request workflow, or should I post a patch on Drupal.org?
Yes, I think it depends. this is something that we discussed. So check out the wiki, and all the instructions on contributing when and where and how is explained in more detail there.
That makes sense, yeah. I should be reading this as opposed to just asking. All right, yeah, it looks like there's going to be forking it off of GitHub.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, awesome.
So in January, when you said we're going to make this distribution and we're going to make it work, and we're even going to put a percentage of our company up against it just to show how serious we are about this, and doing it in Drupal 8 in January, that seems like a pretty bold move. How's that process been for you, working with Drupal 8 in the early days?
Yeah, so we found some things that were not ready working in core, for example, Drupal 8 core, that we needed to fix first. And also we did a lot of work with the people from the group module. So that did take us more time. But in the end, everybody loves Drupal. It wasn't a Drupal 8, I mean, and it wasn't as difficult as we thought it would be in the beginning. So anyone listening that's not working with Drupal 8 yet, there is really no reason not to start working with Drupal 8 at this moment. Dive into that. It's not that difficult as maybe the rumors might believe you it is. And in the end, because it's much better structured, it's object oriented, things just make more sense. For us, it's really, I think it now takes a new developer that joins the team a couple of days and he's up and running and actually contributing. So
I'm surprised that actually, I'm a little bit surprised at that. I was guessing that there were going to be some holes in contrib that weren't yet ported. When I think about Drupal Social, I think, you know, that's going to be a ton of contributed modules, but has that changed with, all of the new additions into Drupal 8?
The main contrib modules that we currently use are group, and then we use address, that's very important, message, and bootstrap. They are all pretty well. Group is obviously new, but they're all pretty stable, and they have some betas up or alpha, high alpha releases, so that's actually pretty doable. Obviously, things, for example, that are currently being worked on as the media initiative, that's a larger Drupal 8 initiative that's going on now. We would love to have a little bit more from that initiative, but yeah, it's coming along, and the same goes for blocks and all that kind of thing. So, yeah.
I also think about notifications and the notification stack. And
that. Yeah, so message is available for Drupal 8. It's an alpha one, but we use it and it's working really well for us.
Great.
So yeah,
that's great to hear. Karen, why don't we ask here off the top about distributions? When I say we're going to build a Drupal distribution or we're going to use a Drupal distribution, Karen, what's your reaction?
Yikes! both on the end of building and the end of using. Yeah, it's a huge amount of work, and it's always challenging, of course, to keep it current. And then when you're using it, the challenge is finding a balance between things that you need. A distribution that provides the things you need, but without dictating a bunch of things you don't want. And that's always the tricky thing with distributions, I think.
Yeah, and from my point of view, you know, like I've seen distributions and they might be running like an older version of modules or something like that. And at that point, you try to update them, but the distribution is dependent on that particular version of the module, which is why it wasn't updated, which can, you know, express itself in several ways that make your head
and those can be time consuming bugs to work out.
Yeah. So Taco Miesco.
Well, I saw a team working a lot of on update hooks like very recently, so we're definitely thinking about updating. Maybe you can elaborate, Taco.
Well, look, I think when you do a distribution, you have to do it right. And in the Drupal community, if you're going to work on an e-commerce project, we're all going to take Drupal Commerce, right? I mean, you're not going to build this from scratch. Maybe a few cases, but most of the time, Drupal Commerce serves really well. Why? Because the commerce process is pretty much the same for any e-commerce solution. So what they did really well is focus on fixing that solution and then expanding with different payment gateways and modules, etc. So that is also what we want to do. We really want to focus on the core, the 80% of what all social development projects have, the notifications, the content, but not a lot more than that. So I think that makes it more light and more flexible. And also because we are dedicated and focused on making this distribution sustainable, meaning we have a full team working on that continuously to make it better. And I think that's also what is lacking maybe in other distributions is that, the idea is great, but you need to keep on investing and improving and making it better over time.
Yeah, sometimes they get orphaned. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just going to say that, like, I've seen distributions before, that were put out by various companies, and then, you know, there's a whole bunch of work, and then they just kind of go stale. And it's up to you to kind of upgrade your own modules for security updates, and at that point, then you start running into all this technical debt issues that were present that you might not have known about.
Yeah. Yeah, so is it going to fit every social project, every use case? No, but for a lot of projects, and even Drupal Commons, the Drupal 7 version, it had at 1,200 installations, which can be much more, but still, that's a lot of websites running on the distribution.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot more running on Drupal Commerce, but still, it fulfills a lot of use cases, and I think we will do even better than that.
Yes, we will not abandon you guys. There is so much. As a company, we are too committed to this as well, you know. So it's really important to us.
How many people are actually using it at this point? Do you have any sense at all of how widely used it is, or is anyone using it yet?
Well, we're still in alpha, so there should not be production sites out there. We know there are.
There are about 100 reporting back to Drupal.org, and we have a bit above 8,000 downloads now, so that's quite a lot for alpha, yeah. I guess. So a lot of people are trying it out, and we get like requests almost every week if we can like do a project or maybe help some people contribute or translate. Translation is also a big thing we haven't talked about at all. So multi-language support, which seems to be important for customers as well. There's definitely traction. But again, we are going to beta next week. So people should focus on, that moment will be a big moment. And from then on, we'll guarantee updates. And so it's mostly developers, I think, using it right now.
And actually, we are in the process of launching our first sites ourselves, and both of them are for the United Nations.
So I can see the United Nations being interested in translation. So how does translation work with Drupal Social?
Yeah, so there's when looking at multi-language, there is a lot of use cases that we have to set apart. So let's start with, can I change the interface language into a mm-hmm. language of my choosing? That's the first thing. The second is, can I create content in different languages and search and filter, and how would that work? And then the United Nations also use a lot of Google translation modules to just automatically translate the content. So when we're talking to them, we're now working on those specific use cases. The first one that we're working on is making the interface of OpenSocial available front and back end in other languages. So we're working on Dutch, because we are based in Amsterdam, but there's also people working on French, and it is a community effort, by the way, so it's really great that people are pitching in on working on French and Arabic at this moment. And any more, Miesco, that you know of?
Yeah, I think Italian. So basic approach is first to translate the strings which are facing the user, so in the interface, and then move to the back end. And we're using Drupal.org for translations, but only the thing is they tend to stay in the queue for quite a while before they are approved. So we've written some documentation that you can export them back and use them on your install before they are approved at Drupal.org. And that works for us. It's moving along nicely, and yeah.
And then after that, the thing will be, okay, can I work with multiple languages in terms of content on the platform? And it's definitely something that's being requested at the moment, but it's also rather complex to do. We have a lot of experience with this since our Greenpeace international platform, Greenwire, is available in 16 languages. And it has a lot of consequences because basically anything on the platform needs to be filtered and changed, etc. So I think that Drupal can be very strong in this, because what we hear from our clients is that there's currently no social software that can actually work really well with multiple languages. So it could be that Drupal and OpenSocial is going to that direction, as it's also one of the core features of Drupal 8, the multi-language.
Nice. Yeah, that's supposed to be pretty good in Drupal 8, I understand. So that's good.
Definitely. We have never we have a huge backlog, and nobody's ever bored here. and people are asking us a lot of functionalities, and we're constantly updating our backlog and deciding what we will sprint on next. And we'll be releasing every 3 weeks on Drupal.org.
So you guys are both attending DrupalCon Dublin, is that correct?
Yes. So we bring a lot of our team to DrupalCon Dublin.
Okay.
We actually silver sponsors with OpenSocial, mm-hmm. and almost everybody from the team will be there. So there will be like 8 of us, and we have our partners from Ukraine. Lemberg will be joining us as well. So. Yeah, that's exciting times, and the beta will be out, so we'll have lots of feedback to process probably, and go from there.
Gotcha. Yeah. So, are you going to have a booth?
Yes. So we do have a booth. Let me look the number for you.
You'll see the orange and pink colors.
The orange and pink booth.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll find it.
And we'll both be talking as well on the DrupalCon.
So, awesome. So the official number is 906. I think it's near the entrance somewhere near the coffee. So it should be
busy. Good place to be near the coffee.
Regardless, but obviously we'll give some demos of scheduled demos of OpenSocial.
And with gadgets, right?
Yes, gadgets you really want and need.
So come.
But visit us for a demo.
What's your DrupalCon talks on? Let's give the pitch here, just so people can potentially attend them.
Yes, so both I and Taco are talking. Mm-hmm. So I have a dual talk by Evelien Schut, who is our Scrum Master, mm-hmm. also at OpenSocial, and myself. And it's more focused on the business side of running an agency with fixed teams. So, for example, we structured Open Social as a spin-off. We have a dedicated team that only works on Open Social and doesn't do other projects. And I think that's important for the success, that they stay focused. And we will share some insights on how we're still discovering how this exactly works. It's been working quite well. But we'll share some insights in how we think this could work for other agencies as well, and give some like financial results from this as well. That's at least what I will be talking about. And the fun thing is Eveline has a bit different perspective on this. So she's more about keeping the team happy and being productive, and I would like to make some money as well. So I think this duality might be fun. So yeah, if you're interested in this kind of things and like agile teams, be sure to check it out. And Taco's talk is something completely different, I guess.
I'll be talking about there's a model from one of the big investment companies called Accel. They came up with a model called the three phases of a successful open software company, and they talk about that how open software companies that make scalable products, as we are trying to do, are really different than non-open source companies. What they say is that you have three phases to focus on, and the first phase is the project phase, the community phase. How do we build the community around it, then focus on the product phase, which is still something we are working on, and only in phase three focus on your scale and go-to-market strategy. And that's different because usually people start with, you know, scale, go-to-market in the first step. So this is very interesting. Dries also blogged about this, that he really likes this model for Acquia, and I think we can have a really good discussion about, okay, how can we launch products with Drupal? How does this change with Drupal 8? And again, we'll also be sharing some of our insights on the project so far.
Awesome.
So, Karen, Drupal Social, could you see Lullabot using it internally?
Well, I think it's definitely worth an investigation.
What are your blockers so far outside of the ability to post cat pictures?
I have cat pictures. That's it, baby. Yeah.
We will set the demo content for you and fill it with cat photos.
All right.
Definitely. Yeah, we'll definitely set up a demo for you guys so you can check it out and share your insights with us. We'd love to hear your feedback. And that goes not just for Lullabot, but also for everybody listening to this podcast and want to give feedback or has some great ideas to make the product better. Come find us at the DrupalCon or in the issue queue. We're really open for any thoughts on this, as we're also, you know, young, ambitious, but also pioneering with this distribution.
It sounds great. No, seriously, and I appreciate the effort that you're putting in this, and it does sound very interesting.
Yeah, effort. There's a lot of work going into to making a useful distribution and one that can be reused by lots of different people, and I applaud your efforts. I wish you luck.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And see you guys in Dublin.
Well, you'll see me in Dublin. I don't... Yeah. These other unfortunate people.
Some of us aren't going to be there, yeah.
You're not going to make the trip across the pond.
Baltimore.
See you in Baltimore then.
There you go.
Baltimore it is.
Baltimore.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks,
guys.
Thanks. Bye.
We're talking with Taco Pozza and Miesco Chizik. Miesco Chizik.